Attention musicians, do you want to hear your music on vinyl but just can't afford the 100 minimum that most vinyl cutting houses require? Well, you might want to do a short run, maybe 1 to 50, and Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on the How Did I Get Here in their menu, or just follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get to their page, enter the promo code HDIGH for 10% off short-run vinyl cutting. That's right. Promo code HDIGH gets you 10% off. That's Austin Signal, gang. Go get some vinyl. Let's get down. Attention, Austin guitarists. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you. That's Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthery. Find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook. I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years, and not only does he do the best job, but he's got the best prices and the fastest service in town. Find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook or at jason.swedberg@gmail.com. Whether it's electric, acoustic, or bass, Jason Swedberg is your guy. Get your guitars fixed. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
All right, hello. I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great long weekend, a good Thanksgiving. Got to spend it with friends or family or on your own, maybe. That could be a peaceful situation all in itself, gang. It really can. I had a good Thanksgiving, really good Thanksgiving. I went to Houston on Wednesday with my cousin Emily, and my girlfriend Jenna went to Thanksgiving for the first time with my family and met my family. It was a good family Thanksgiving. We all made stuff, and I had some cocktails. I got a little loose at Thanksgiving, and my grandmother gave me my grandfather's car. My grandmother's 96. My grandfather passed away like 5 years ago, and she's been telling me, "Oh, I want to give you this car, but I still want to keep it." So she finally gave me this car. So I rode down there with my cousin Emily, and I drove back in this Buick Lucerne. My grandfather's very fancy Buick Lucerne. It's a pretty luxurious car when you drive a Mazda. Anyway, so yeah, Thanksgiving was good. Jenna met the family. The family all liked her. There was no weirdness, no general weirdness. No, it was a happy Thanksgiving. My cousin Christopher and his wife Wesley showed up with their kids. It was great to see them. Haven't seen them since Christmas, I think. It's been a while. Anyway, it was good, man. It was a great, great Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to be, you know, in that family. Thankful to have Jenna in my life. It's been great hanging out with her. Then Friday, we went and hung out with her family all day. We went to the climbing gym with her mom and her brother and went to lunch with her brother, her sister, her mom, and a bunch of her brother's friends. That was a lot of fun. Then we just chilled out Friday night. Saturday, I had a gig with Skyrocket in Houston at the Last Concert Cafe. That was great. Great getting to play with Kevin Lance, who ended up coming by today to do a podcast. You'll hear that in the next couple of weeks. Great conversation with Kevin Lance. He went into it, man. He went deep, 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 deep. Yeah, then Sunday I got up and came back to Austin in the luxurious Buick Lucerne. It was fantastic. I wanted to say thank you to all my family, to Jenna, everyone. It was great. I'm very thankful to have the wonderful family that I do. I'm very thankful to have this show, thankful to have Skyrocket, thankful to be in this world. So yeah, it was a good Thanksgiving. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving too. Gang, if you're in Austin, this Saturday, December 7th, it is the annual Black Fret Ball. That's right, Black Fret, the organization that raises money and gives money to musicians every year in the form of a grant. This year, they're giving out $250,000 in grants. And their Black Fret Ball takes place this Saturday, December 7th at ACL Live at Moody Theater. Doors are at 7 p.m. There's a 5 p.m. red carpet thing. Go to blackfret.org for all of your Black Fret needs. Now, the nominees this year are A. Sinclair, Alta Mesa, Beetroot Revival, Black Pumas, Carrie Hudson and Good Company, Cilantro Boombox, Dr. Joe, Erica Wennerstrom, Go Fever, Goodfield, Jonathan Terrell, Leyline, Superphonicos, Sydney Wright, Texas KGB, The Waters, Think No Think, Ty Austin, Western Youth, and today's guest, Dave Scher. That's right. Today's guest is Dave Scher, guitarist, multi-instrumentalist, songwriter, singer, guitarist for people like Ruthie Foster, Jeff Plankenhorn, Andrea McGee, but also he is the leader of the Dave Scher Trio, and he is up for a Black Fret grant. So, gang, if you want to find out more about Black Fret and the Black Fret Ball, go to blackfret.org and get involved there. Get your tickets. Go on out. Have a good night with your family. See a lot of bands perform. Dave Scher and I have a fantastic conversation about his journey into music, his time at Berklee College of Music, getting his proverbial shit together here in Austin, playing with bands, doing his own thing, producing other bands. He's working right now on a record with Andrea McGee from Beatroot Revival. You heard them on the show a few weeks ago. Dave and I have a great conversation, and as I said again, he is up for a Black Fret grant. Hopefully he will get one. You can find out more about Dave Scher by going to DaveScher.com. You can find his album Porch Talk wherever it is you stream and download your jams. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Black Fret nominee Dave Scher. Let's get down. So say you win the big grant, mm-hmm. 20 G's, is that what it is now, or have they upped that?
I don't know, that's what I'm told.
Okay, so it's still 20 G's.
I'm told that it's 20, yeah.
So they drop 20 G's on you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that 20 G's? What does Dave Scher, it's Dave Scher, right? Not Scher.
It is. Dave Scher, just okay. Like the singer.
All right.
What do I do with it? A number of things. I hit McDonald's.
Stop ordering from the dollar menu for a while.
Right, yeah. Because a boy can at that point. I don't know. It's, you know, I have plans, and I didn't actually, I think like a lot of other folks, I wasn't actually completely aware of how it worked. And I thought, well, last year I thought, whatever grant I get, whether it's minor or major, I'm going to have to use the money on probably what Black Fret considers to be a viable expense towards my career, and that they would be involved in the transaction. And that is actually not how it works. You can take all your grant money and go to McDonald's if you want to.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they let you
can.
Do that now? No.
Yeah. No, you can.
You have to unlock the funds, right?
That's the thing. You unlock it, and then once you unlock it, you don't have to spend it.
Okay.
So, you know, you can do, like, one of the most effective ways to unlock is it unlocks $1,000 if you play a nonprofit organization, like a benefit or something. And if you go and play, say, a solo show, and you're not getting paid because you're donating your time, then there's no expense, except maybe the little bit of gas in your car it took to get to the gig. If you're playing with a band, and then maybe the expense of the band. Also, a lot of benefits and festivals that are benefiting scholarships and such that are nonprofit, they will pay. So when you pay, whether you do a gig for free or you get paid,
you still get paid for the gig if you want from them.
It's a different entity, okay. The Black Fret thing. So as long as you do it, that unlocks the money, and you can use the money to pay yourself back if you had to pay a couple of guys to come in and play with you at this thing that you just did to unlock it. You know,
yeah.
But you don't have
to. I dig it. Okay.
It's just whatever you use it on. And
What happens the year that you're, like, you get nominated, and then, like, you do a lot of showcases? And they're paying shows. I've been mm-hmm. to those parties. They've been good. Those guys, Matt and Colin, have been nice enough to invite me to a few of them.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed the... it's an interesting setup. It's different than a normal gig.
It is, but it's kind of cool because it's in a good venue.
Yeah.
You know, the first one I did was actually at Colin's house.
Oh, yeah?
And that was really cool because he's got a beautiful home. His backyard slopes down almost like an amphitheater. And set up a stage.
I think I went to one there.
Yeah?
I went to a house that was like that. It was a fabulous house.
Yeah, it was probably West 360.
Something like that.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any other kind of 360.
So you do those shows, you make some money, you meet some people?
Uh-huh.
Do you...
You meet some people, you meet some members, you know, some voters that could potentially vote for you.
What's their reaction to you?
Personally, to me? When I do a Black Fret showcase, by the way, each nominee does two a year, official Black Fret showcases a year. This year I did Antone's and the place right by here.
Emo's.
No, used to be Antone's.
Oh, yeah. Come and Take It Live.
Come and Take It Live. And that one, Come and Take It Live, I had a very cool response.
Yeah?
Even before I played.
Yeah.
Just going out into the crowd and meeting people and seeing people that have heard my name somewhere, like maybe from last year's nomination.
Right.
And it's great. It's really cool to see so much support.
Yeah.
From so many people that dig what you're doing and dig what Black Fret is about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there's a lot of cool, like, mentors and stuff. Do you have access to them as a nominee, or is that only if you win?
No, as a nominee.
Oh, yeah?
All throughout the year, you can use
Tim
those.
Like Tim Palmer guy.
Yeah.
Like Tim Palmer.
Exactly.
Mark Addison.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is there now?
I'd love to call up Tim Palmer and say, hey, how do you make 10? By Pearl Jam, again.
Yeah.
That successful and that good sounding. Who else is there? There's T-Double.
Yeah.
You know, he's...
It's a good dude.
Yeah. And it's quite a bit. There's a few, what some would call non-celebs, because they're behind the curtains. There's entertainment attorneys.
Yep.
And
cool dudes.
Yeah. People that...
Good guys to know.
Understand... what it takes to move forward the right way.
Yeah.
You know?
What, the reason why I was asking what their response was to you is because you do a thing that this place is known for doing.
Mm-hmm. What, like guitar slinging?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess some, me included, would say that it's potentially dated, you know, this day and age. I love it.
I don't think so.
I think
a guy like Gary Clark Jr. comes around and reminds everyone that that's still a viable, like in mainstream, he's in the mainstream.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he's...
That's true.
Yeah.
And major Black Fret Grant winner from a few years back, Eric Tesmer.
Tesmer?
You know?
You guys friends?
Yeah, we're real close.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
We had a residency together for probably 5 years.
At Friends? So,
at Friends, yeah.
Yeah, you were part of that.
He was there for 12 or 13 years. And then
he was there since like 82.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. And we did that for a good number of years and got close on that. I've even, you know, I'm a multi-instrumentalist, so sometimes I play drums, and Tesmer's had me out on the road with him playing drums.
Oh, really?
Bass, and, yeah. So we got close, and... we're into the same stuff. You know, we're both kind of sticklers about tone and stuff like
Jesus,
that.
Jesus, man, his setup. I was just talking to someone a couple days ago. I saw this Doyle Bramall video, like some reverb video of his pedal board.
Oh, wow.
And he has one of those Leslie pedals, and those things sound great.
They do. They sound real.
They sound real. And my friend Kyle was like, well, nothing beats the real thing. And I'm like, man, Tesmer's, the last time I saw him, his... rig was like an onslaught of fucking tone in my face, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like about Tesmer is he may be really loud, but it's all hitting you in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not uncomfortable. Like, it's not shrill.
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah. And it's so big because of those Leslies. It's actually, it's one thing, you know, Doyle Jr.'s Leslie pedal. Those Leslie pedals are very... good at being at emulating the real thing, but when you have the real thing going left to right in your head, you know.
There's something about that, like an actual moving speaker, two moving speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. What is your setup?
Well,
not to like get all...
No, I mean, it's cool. I like to, I'll talk shop all day. I have my thing, my Dave Scherr brand, and I'll go out and maybe, you know, take advantage of all the money I spent on amplifiers and pedals and stuff, and I'll try and explore sonically because it's my time on stage. But I don't have a job, so I play around town all the time. I play guitar with everyone, and I play guitar with a lot of cover situations. And typically, I got a guitar and a cable and a Blues Junior. And
what kind of cover gigs are you doing?
Top 40.
Oh, yeah?
You know? So, yeah, guitar, cable, Blues Junior, and a suit. You know? Those kinds. And nothing wrong
with
that.
I do too, man. Yeah, I'm in Skyrocket.
That's right.
Working.
It's a great band.
It's a fucking living, breathing cover band.
Yeah. You guys like switch instruments and stuff, don't
yeah,
you?
And switch singers too, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I always think of it as great for the audience because if they hate one of us, they don't have to deal with us very much.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people it's moving
cool.
around. Yeah. The other side of that coin would be that if they did like one of us a lot, they wouldn't get to. Like my grandma always wonders why I don't sing all the time in the band.
My grandmother as well. And she just recently moved to Austin, you know, to be close to her family. I like to think that a lot of it is to come to more of my shows.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's disappointed, but I do think she's like, yeah, I wish you'd sing more, you know?
Yeah.
And I understand that. But I got to work.
Yeah, so, you're a great singer, by the way.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you very much.
Also, before we start going back, I did want to point out that I've seen you play with Plank, and I've seen that you play with Ruthie Foster. I've seen the quotes from like Chris Gage and Van Wilkes, guys that don't throw out a bunch of compliments to dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing them out to you and being like the guitar player for Plank's band, that's an honor.
Oh yeah, I think so.
I mean, that's like a dude that's like, hey, this guy's the shit, and he's like, yeah, well, so is this guy. You know what I mean?
I love Plank.
Yeah,
he's a good friend. He's a good musician and a great artist, and he knows how to take care of his band too.
Yeah,
he's a real respectful guy.
Yeah,
and I respect that.
Yeah, so you are you're like the guitar player's guitar player. That's
like
pretty cool.
Think, yeah,
yeah,
that's very cool.
Yeah,
I hope to be.
Where are you from here?
Yeah, I'm born and raised.
Really?
Yeah, I was born in Seton Hospital.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you grow up? Did you grow up like in the system?
Yeah.
Like, did you take lessons in straight music or
something?
Yeah, you did Dave Seaver or something?
Exactly. Yeah, I took lessons at ASM when it was at that old Saturn dealership on 5th.
Sure.
Which is now, I don't know, Core Power Yoga or something like
that.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is now.
And I started off a couple of years with a guy that just recently, well, a couple years ago, moved to Hawaii, but for 20-something years, he was in Memphis Train Review. His name's Willie Scoggins.
Okay.
And he was in Black Pearl, I believe, with Lisa Tingle.
Right, right.
And then I did a couple lessons with Van Wilkes.
Yeah.
But probably a month and a half or 2 months maximum, because he kept going to Europe and being a star.
Yeah.
Because he is. And then after that, I took my last teacher at Austin School of Music for, I'd say, 6 or 7 years was with a guy who plays around town quite regularly named Glenn Rexach.
Okay, I know that name. I don't know him, though.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible player. He plays with, what's that country player's name with the Jewish last name?
Kinky Friedman?
Close. He's not actually Jewish.
Oh.
Oh, I'll think of it.
Okay, Buggy Goldstein?
It's very close to that. It's very close. Goldman. Dome.
Something. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
he's got his own trio. Glenn does. It's great. And then, you know, ASM, all that. That was great. I had a great time. And then I finished high school in Dallas. I moved to Dallas for 2 years.
Okay.
Because my first 2 years of high school was at Westlake. And I didn't play football. And I was in jazz band and orchestra, played violin. I had hair down to my ass. My jeans were extraordinarily baggy. I had a very long chain wallet. I didn't have very many friends.
It's not just you were looking for trouble, man.
Yeah, kind of. You know, but I just didn't fit in.
Yeah.
And I went to Dallas, moved in with Grandma before she moved down to Austin, and went to Booker T. Washington Arts Magnet in Dallas. No sports.
Is that that's the school that the Bohemians went to and like...
Quite possibly.
Right? Kenny Withrow went there.
Yeah, and Norah Jones.
I just had him on the show, and he was telling me about
it. Oh, really?
It. My old drummer, Brian Keeling, went there.
Yeah. Evram Owens. Fantastic bass player in town, Daryl Phillips.
Yeah.
He went there.
Yeah, Daryl was... Yeah, okay, so that you went there, you were in the... In the guitar zone, or what were you?
Yeah,
were you already multi-instrumentalist, or were you just guitaring?
Yeah, I'd played violin and orchestra at Westlake, and
Did you have bands or anything, or were you just like
bands.
A student?
Okay. I was a student, but I had bands like growing up, trying to do stuff in our friends' garages and stuff. But
you never made it out to like a under 18 show or something.
Oh, like playing. I started playing gigs at 16.
Yeah, where were you playing?
I would sit in at when Friends was Babes.
Oh yeah, baby.
Six.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really good burger.
It was a great burger. Yeah. Great burger.
And then I also did the Seabreeze rock and roll camp.
Yeah.
And they did their thing at Babes for a little bit on the rock show.
On the rock side, yeah. Rock not the side. Restaurant side, yeah.
And then Antone's. And then there's a place on South First in Stassny. Gino's Italian Grill.
Yeah, there was a scene going on there, I remember. Mm-hmm. You friends with Sean Crooks? Weren't Sean and
I might be.
And Jody Porcupile playing there?
Maybe.
Are you like early 30s? How old are you?
Yeah, 33.
Okay.
I played with, what is his name? Billy, the keyboard player.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm bad with names today.
Yeah, this is really a terrible. Can you imagine listening? Someone's going to get into a wreck listening to this shit.
I know.
Sorry, Gabe.
Eddie Flores on drums. It was awesome. It was a really cool experience to grow up playing gigs that early.
Yeah. You know. And so did you have bands in Dallas, or did you try to do bands in Dallas?
I tried. Yeah. I played with a couple people, but mainly that was my start to playing in church.
Okay.
And it was way new to me, given that I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
You know, so I had never really attended a church.
Right.
So much less worked as a musician. And I started doing that, and I played at the Golden Gate Missionary Baptist in Oak Cliff. And I did like two services at the Potter's House, which was really cool. These were churches where I oftentimes found myself being the only white guy.
Okay.
In the band. And sometimes I was playing bass alongside a Hammond organ player that was working his feet, and I had to figure out how to not step on toes.
Right.
You know, it was a cool experience. The music was incredible. And I did that for a while. You know, outside of school, that was my playing outside of school. It was a lot of church.
Were you raised very Jewish or not very Jewish, or were you?
I was raised
Jewish.
Yeah, Jew-ish, pretty much. Yeah. I was raised conservative Jewish, so there's Reform, conservative, and Orthodox.
Right.
And I was not Orthodox. And I would say I was more Reform, but we went to synagogue that was kind of like a conservative type of
That one over on like Shoal Creek or whatever?
It was. Yeah, 35th, 45th?
Yeah, yeah, 35th in Shoal Creek. Yeah.
That's where I was bar mitzvahed.
Okay.
Yeah, Agudas Achim.
Nice.
Was the name of it. And then when that tore down, we now go to the Dell JCC on the Far West.
You still involved?
Not very much.
No.
My folks are. as much as they can be.
You got this Irish girlfriend.
Yeah, and she's fine with it.
Okay.
Yeah. How'd you know about that? That's fun.
She was on my show just recently. Don't you guys talk?
Yeah, we talk. Yeah, we talk. I know she was on your show. Yeah. In fact, she gave me directions to get here.
Oh, she did?
No, but I didn't know if you knew that we were together.
Yeah, she outed you on the show.
Ooh. Actually, the normal circumstance I know, I feel like I've experienced is her musical partner, Ben Jones, typically is the one that brags about Andrea's boyfriend.
He likes you a lot. Yeah.
I like that.
And then he goes out with Kelly McWee.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like.
And I got a show coming up, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's El Mikado.
You
play Monday.
You play with Andrea a lot, or just
we
some?
Do a lot of writing together.
Okay.
Currently, we're working on her solo record.
Okay.
We're doing a lot of pre-production at the house.
You're going to produce it?
I'm going to help produce it.
Okay.
You know, she's got some pretty great ideas too.
Yeah.
So she needs to be heavily involved in how it's going to be shaped. So we're both going to take a part. We're doing a lot of pre-production at the house, which is very similar setup to what you got going on.
Yeah, I saw some photos of
And
got a nice dog too, by the way.
Thank you.
I like that your dog gets involved while you're trying to play piano. I've seen that on Instagram.
She's the best.
Yeah,
she's been a lifesaver.
They are, aren't they? Isn't that weird?
It is. It's totally understandable, though, that they are.
Yeah.
Actually, tomorrow we're gonna go to Wire and work with Stuart Sullivan.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I love that dude.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, man.
I think I've had like one experience recording with him, and it was so long ago. I'm excited to go back because they worked with Stuart, Beetroot Revival, Stuart and Paul Leary.
Yeah.
And their new record, just, of course, the songs are fantastic.
Fantastic songs, yeah.
But sonically, it's great. It sounds so good, and it sounds so big, and there wasn't really a whole lot added to the duo. You know, they didn't go crazy with production.
No.
They recorded the duo, did a couple of other acoustic guitar stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's awesome. So I can't wait to get back into Wire.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Here's another Black Fret question. Black Fret Ball. They're up for it, too. Huh. They're Beetroot Revival.
Oh, yeah.
Your lady is also stands to win money. What happens if one of you wins and one of you doesn't?
Oh, everyone wins.
Everyone's cool?
Yeah, this is like, Black Fret is like...
Oh, yeah, everyone gets... But yeah.
Black Fret is like a tie game at a kid's soccer game, you know? It's like everyone wins. And everyone's happy and everyone gets juice.
Yeah. Everyone gets juice.
Yeah, juice. Yeah, juice and crackers. But I mean, if she gets a major and I get a minor or vice versa type thing.
No problem. No stars born situation.
No.
Okay. We're not.
None of that. I mean, I can't say no stars born situation.
Okay.
But if there's any that comes up, I'll get rid of it.
I've never been in a relationship with another music artist ever.
No?
Nope. Never has interested me in any way.
It never...
I don't know what it is.
I don't know if it's
my ego. I don't know if I can't deal with another. Like, there's one. Someone, only one of us here.
Well, you can't, like... Yeah, you can't be in a relationship with yourself, can you?
No.
No. Yeah.
But I imagine it could be awesome and fruitful and amazing. But I could see myself getting angry with them if I wasn't having any ideas and they were having this outpouring thing. I'd be like, can you move out? I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't be that mean. I don't know.
Well, it's been a test, you know, for me because, and I've grown so much being with Andrea because right now, especially with her studio time coming up and she wants to make sure that, you know, no time is wasted.
Right.
She is writing a song a day. I'm not kidding. Like, she's writing a song a day. My newest song is got to be 3 years old, honestly. You know, I mean, and so when I experience that and I wake up a little later than she does, you know, and I'll go into the kitchen and
it's already at the
and chorus. She's in her robe with the guitar in her lap.
Yeah.
And she's pretty much done. And there's all this scribble on her notepad. And you know, I'll start. I would have started out, say, several months ago,
right,
thinking like, oh, she's got all these ideas. Why? It's not towards her. It's always towards me.
Yeah, I can't.
Why am I not? But these days, I'm kind of just thinking to myself, I'm always reminding myself, well, you don't have time. You know, it's not like you're uninspired. Because I don't think I'm uninspired. I think I'm just freaking busy.
You play with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You're in demand.
I'm always leaving the house with a guitar. And
who all are you playing with right
coming
now?
Coming back with $20, you know. it does a lot of one-offs. So, you know, sometimes I'll play with someone and I'm not in their band, you know. You play in Skyrocket.
Yeah.
You know, I play in London Calling.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the time.
Is that The Clash?
You would think. But no, it's just just the name of a band that does Celebration and, you know.
By Kool and the Gang?
Yeah, and all that stuff. It's literally a wedding band. That's a
They do a lot of stuff.
Great
band.
It's a great band of
horns or synth guys. Oh wow.
Yeah, I mean both packages. You know, six piece or nine piece. And it's a great band. In fact, that band consists of a nominee this year, you know, Carrie Hudson.
Oh yeah.
Carrie's in that band and her band, Good Company. A lot of that band is London Calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's very cool. It's a great band to work with. I worked with them regularly for a few years, and then we went separate ways. I needed a break from that, but I remained in standing to where I can. They'll call me for some things one off, and I've done some gigs with them in the last 2 weeks, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
I think it was even more of a blast because I wasn't in the band anymore.
Right.
I was just hanging out with those guys again and playing, you know, without the commitment.
Right.
Sometimes I go up to Dallas because I made connections with cover bands up there, like, you know about Emerald City?
No, but I saw it in your thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they're from Dallas. They've been around forever, and I've worked with bands because they're a band and then they're a management company. So I've worked with bands that are under their management umbrella.
Genius.
Yeah. So they're pulling in.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the guys that are, I mean, there's chapters all over the country, but the Royal Dukes, you know, there's an Austin chapter of the Royal Dukes. That's like a franchise band.
Yeah. Like a Spasmatics or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're real cool. It's real cool to play with the Royal Dukes. You know, they're real easy. They're like, can you do this gig? You're like, no. They're like, oh, that's fine. Or you're like, yeah, I can do it. All right, cool, you're confirmed. And then a week later, you're like, hey, I double booked. And they're like, that's fine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, man. When you got a guitar, did you ask for it, or was it given to you, or what?
I begged for it.
And why did you beg for it? What was it that made you want it? What did you see?
The first band I had an obsession with was the Eagles.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like Skynyrd. There are so many guitars in that band.
Yeah.
You know, even Don Henley played guitar in that band sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just looked like a cool thing to get involved with because, I mean, and especially when, like, I'd see them on the Hell Freezes Over video and they're all sitting down doing the acoustic numbers like Tequila Sunrise and some of Henley's solo stuff and the camera pans out, you see all of them and all of their right hands are like, it's like synchronized swimming.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all strumming the same, you know, speed.
Yeah.
And something about that was kind of trancey. But I mean, I think really what made me like kick into overdrive of I want to be involved in that was Stevie Ray and watching his Austin City Limits performances and then his
after he was already dead, right?
Yeah, this had to have been
94 or something.
95, I think, is when I was really into guitar and I didn't play.
Yeah.
You know? And now there was something about that really hypnotized me and I wanted to learn how to make that sound. So I got a little junior Strat and a little Yorkville amp on my 10th birthday, I believe. Yeah.
Headed to ASG or ASM. Oh, it's, yeah, Austin School of Music.
I started there 2 years later.
Okay.
But my dad showed me, you know, the first three frets. He showed me all the campfire chords.
Did they take you to stuff like it was like Ian Moore or something then? Like, you know, oh, hey, watch this guy.
No, they always put on Austin City Limits.
Okay.
You know, and, but I mean, they did take me to stuff I was able to get into, you know, and that, but that was later after I was at ASM, because I would go see teachers play. I'd go see
Sebree
or Glenn, you know, yeah, or Van. I got to find this VHS that my mom has and figure out how to.
You can put it places digitally. You can take it to a place.
That's what I've been.
It's a little bread, told. Though.
That's okay. It's worth it. I've got a whole. It's got like three or four tunes of me sitting in as a 13-year-old, I think, with Van Wilkes at, I think it was Harley Davidson South, you know, Cowboy Harley Davidson in the parking lot, and set up a stage, and they did a thing, and I sat in, and some of it was kind of, you know, listenable.
Yeah.
I was definitely freaking cute. So yeah. That's a
you
huge
kept that.
Thing. Why
you kept
I
that going.
To, oh, thanks.
You're a cute guy.
That's one of the reasons why I need to digitize that and put it up.
Yeah.
And share it with the world.
Yeah, they got to see it.
Yeah.
I got to see it.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you watch like Austin Music Network or anything like that?
Yeah, Channel 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find any guys on there?
I found D Madness that way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He was doing his one-man band thing. You know D?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. He's completely blind.
Yeah.
Plays every instrument there is, probably.
Yeah.
Except for the ones that you blow into, I think. And except for, you know, maybe kazoo. But he's sitting at a drum kit with a bass in his lap and singing and hammering on bass notes with his left hand and with a keyboard to his right, playing chords, kicking and hi-hatting, and every now and then picking up a stick and hitting a snare and singing. It's pretty incredible. And cool tunes.
Yeah.
Found him that way. I found the Heebie-Jeebies that way.
You ended up playing with them, huh?
Yeah. Actually, Jonas Sachs plays bass with me often.
Oh, yeah.
And I first saw him on AMN.
Yeah.
You know, him and Cecilio and 80.
Yeah.
Playing as the Heebie-Jeebies. And so that was pretty cool to kind of put that together.
Was it Lonnie was in that band too, right?
Yeah, Lonnie yeah. and James Spear.
Oh, yeah, James Spear. I like mm-hmm. that guy.
Yeah,
he's was a in good that. Dude.
I think James was in it after Lonnie or during, and then also when Jonas was playing bass.
Well, after high school, you went to Berkeley?
Yeah, I went up to Boston, Mass, and I went to Berkeley for 4 years.
You graduated?
I didn't.
No.
I did do 4 years, though.
Okay, that's good.
But during that four-year time, I, for some reason, decided to dual major. And so that put me in like a five-year plan in order to finish, you know.
What was it? What were the?
Guitar performance and music therapy.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So I had gotten a four-year scholarship. From graduating high school, I applied for scholarship. I got some. It was around a quarter scholarship. And then by the time I did my third or beginning of my fourth year at Berkeley, I had accumulated enough and won enough awards and scholarship awards to make that be about three quarters of a scholarship, of a ride. But it was still a four-year scholarship. So in order to graduate, I needed 5 years. And that fifth year was going to be full $42,000 or so.
Jesus.
So I couldn't do it. I stayed in Boston for another year, I think.
What'd you do up there, play?
Yeah, I played in cover bands. That Boston was kind of my introduction to cover bands. And other artists. I actually started a recording studio in Boston, and that was, you know, a money pit. But
what year was that?
That was 08 okay. to 09 probably.
And then would you move back here 10 years ago? Or would you go somewhere else?
I moved back here.
When you moved back here, what'd you do? Because, like, I don't understand you and me haven't, like, hung out before, like, whenever it was.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I meet you at Plank, I just think it's weird.
I think it's very possible that we did meet a long time ago and we didn't know.
Because every time I've been around you or seen shit that you say on the internet, I'm always like, why am I not friends with this dude? He's totally, like, my kind of guy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No one says that. Everyone says, who's this? Why is he saying that in public?
No, even people like Gabe Rhodes is like, I don't understand how you guys aren't hanging out.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I don't either. But I mean, yeah, I after Berkeley and after 6 or 8 months in Boston, I packed up the car and drove back down here, and I rolled into town the day after, or a day after Christmas, or maybe Christmas Eve of 09. I moved back in with my folks for...
Triumphantly.
Yeah, triumphantly for, I'd say, 3 or 4 months. And then I found a spot in South Austin, like south of Slaughter. And I lived with... I moved in with and made friends with one of my best friends and one of the fucking best guitar players, I think. Brad Tritola is his name. He's been in town forever, and actually he's in Nashville now. But we shared a house for a year or so. And then I found a house in 2011. Been there since.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you moved back. What did you start doing? Who'd you start playing with?
I did the Sixth Street
Shuffle.
Shuffle.
That's when you did the... Friends.
Yeah, that's what, well, playing Friends, I played Friends mostly, but that was with other folks.
Okay.
And I started playing with my trio. I put a trio together and started playing under my name with Tesmer at Friends probably in 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who was your trio then? Because I saw you playing with Brandon, but was that a regular thing? You're playing Learning to Fly on some video?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Brandon still plays with me every now and then.
I love him.
Yeah, I do too. He's a busy guy, and I play with his outfit sometimes. We both find each other playing in other people's outfit. This was, I guess, when I started playing under my name, I had an organ trio. It was me and... a guy that moved down here that we met in Berkeley named Adrian Myers on drums, and a guy that moved down here from Berkeley as well, but not to play with me, to play with Mingo Fishtrap named Dane Farnsworth. And we were good friends in Boston. All three of us were.
You played organ?
No, I played guitar and Dane played organ. Okay. And we didn't have a bass player. He would just kick bass.
Flanagan's trio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, he didn't do a lot of pedal work. He would just do left-hand stuff.
Oh, okay.
Which worked out favorably because, you know, keys of most kinds and guitar share a lot of territory.
Yeah.
So in order to not step on each other's toes, it's kind of nice that he had one hand tied behind his back.
Yeah.
Or just down there.
Yeah.
In the bass register. So everything he was doing with his right hand was most of the time out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, it was really fun. It was definitely different because everybody else had the power trio thing with a drummer, a P bass, and a Strat.
Right, right.
And we were doing something kind of like Flanagan or Red, like those setups.
It's a little tough, man. Pop. I don't know how often you take that walk, but like last week I played at Antone's with Skyrock and I took the walk down 6th Street, mm-hmm. Happy Hour Time.
Oh, well, Happy Hour Time is... Someone's doing like, cold shot.
It's just like fucking
Happy Hour is a nice innocent time to walk that to take that walk. I play Eddie V's on Sunday nights and sometimes I'll take my break and just walk down there for a second.
Yeah.
just to say hey to people at Friends.
Sure.
And as I walk down, that's we play at 7, so we take the break at 8 and 9. And 9 especially, you can tell it's getting a little closer to not happy hour.
Yeah.
You know, and it starts getting grimy, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to watch your back.
Jesus.
Yeah. Sometimes.
That was intense just now.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do.
I don't venture down there very much. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
What do you do when you play at Eddie V's? It's with the trio?
Yeah. That's.
Is it instrumental jazz music?
No. I sing, but we do some jazz, but then again, we also just kind of do my tunes or some pop tunes, but it's kind of sonically, it's kind of jazzy.
Cool.
Drummer's playing brushes. The bass is pretty muted, so it kind of sounds like an upright.
Yeah.
And I've got a guitar in my lap sitting at a piano.
Okay. And you occasionally switch over to the
Yeah. I play a lot of piano at that gig. It's really fun.
Yeah.
And you know, we're all wearing blazers, so it's a little bit jazzy looking.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You enjoy those gigs?
I do. It's a little like you got to know what it is in order to enjoy it. You know, I like to think of it as being professionally ignored, which is fine with me because they do take care of you. If no one claps, the bar staff kind of starts it
That's
up for
cool.
you.
That's cool.
It's kind of nice. I enjoy it. It's my time, you know. I think I would enjoy it less if I was to go play bass for someone else's gig over there.
Right. So you kind of dictate if you want to solo a little longer on something or take something somewhere you can.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are willing to be there with you.
Yeah, I get to drive the bus.
Are you well-versed in like jazz and shit like that?
I would like to think so. I actually just had a guitar lesson where I didn't teach. I was the student yesterday with Carter Arrington. One of the finest players in town, and I would say no, I'm not very versed in jazz. I mean, the way that I see it is, I know how to play jazz pretty well, but I don't believe that I can say what I want to say like I can with blues or soul or pop. You know.
You know, when Brandon was on this show, it was just like a lesson in jazz history for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I admitted to not knowing much, and he made it a point to make sure I knew a little bit more when he left, which was great.
Yeah, I like that about him.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, he's a walking encyclopedia of that.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
You do a lot of different gigs. I mean, I'm sure, like, I saw some pictures from, like, you did a thing with Andrea opening for Brian Wilson.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. The gig was really fun. It was a lot of people's, and it was cool to play at a venue like that.
Did you meet him?
Yeah. I met him, and we took a picture with him and stuff.
Are you a
Brian Wilson fan?
Yeah.
I respect what he's done to pop music.
Sure.
Immensely. Yeah. I didn't grow up listening to him, and I didn't grow up being a Beach Boys fanatic.
Right.
But... we watched the show after we played, and it's those. I recognized some songs, and I thought they were good songs. He's a different kind of performer now. Actually, he kind of never was a performer.
Right,
he was always a composer. I just never really was super into those tunes, but it was pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah,
and be around. That gig was fun. The most fun part was driving up there and driving back with Andrea and her band, which is our Friends.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So what I was going to point out is, like, in this career, there's a lot of different gigs. Like, we played at Moody Theater on Monday, and then, like, that Friday we were playing at fucking Hanover's in Pflugerville. Nothing against fucking Hanover's in Pflugerville, but...
Yeah, that's fine.
It's a different level of... of jam.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you got a backstage with lights. Everyone has their own space to groove out. And it's cool. And Coldplay might have been there the night before, Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like in the corner of Eddie V's or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one night you're doing the like Brian Wilson's opening act, and the next night you're fucking in your suit.
Yeah.
Doing a jazz version of Karma Chameleon. I don't know if that's if you do that, but
being professionally ignored.
Being professionally ignored. It's pretty interesting. You remember Ian McLaughlin?
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing him, like seeing the Hall of Fame thing, and I know it wasn't in the same week because they air it months afterwards. But watching the Hall of Fame thing on like Saturday night, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction of his band, and he's up there playing and doing his thing, being Mac. Mm-hmm. Then I went that Thursday to his free happy hour at Lucky Lounge. He's just up there being Mac. Same dude. Yep. He understood. He understood the gig.
He knew the gig.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just last week I was hanging out with John Stacy, the drummer for Kevin Fowler. Uh-huh. And has been Kevin's drummer for years. And he was like, hey, you ought to come out and you know, hang out or sit in. I'm playing on Monday at Sanjak. And I said, like, 6th Street Sanjak? San Jacinto and 6th? He's like, yeah. Like, wow, someone who plays
big
year
shows.
Round yeah. with Fowler and then still takes gigs every now and then where he's got to truck his kit down to a place that doesn't have parking and load into a $40 gig, you know? And but I mean, it's like
that's who we are, though, right?
Yeah, we got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we live for.
It's not about the first classness of the whole thing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's just about the fact you're doing it.
I finally
and
got
the absurdity
to...
of it, I actually enjoy. I think it's awesome that one
too.
Day you're here and the next day you're like professionally ignored.
Yeah.
You know
I
what
think
I mean?
It's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great to be able to do that and know what it is.
Yeah.
Doing.
Show business, man.
Man,
that's what it is. It's just this big fucking thing.
Yeah. It is. I finally got to play my music outside of Austin. I booked a couple of shows in Houston.
Where at?
And just like some blues clubs that were, each one of them are 4-hour gigs. One place called the Big Easy and another place down southeast of Houston in Baycliff called Katie's Bar and Grill. And they take care of you and the tip jar always fills up and, you know, it's, and I got a PA so it's not too bad. And I was gonna pile the trio into a van, so I borrowed a buddy's van, got everything together, went to Round Rock and picked up Tom Breckline, who's been playing drums with me every now and then, and he agreed to come to Houston with me and play with me. Tom was in Robin Ford in the Blue Line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He played with Chick Corea. He played with Wayne Shorter.
Jesus.
And he's in this, you know, Chevy Express van with me. And actually, the guy I borrowed the van from, we swapped cars because he needed something to drive around town. So I gave him my little Mazda. And he accidentally burnt out my clutch. And he's like, your clutch burnt out. I got to go to a gig, though. I'll drop a pin. I'll just let you know where the car is. I haven't left for Houston yet. I said, oh, okay, all right, shoot. So, Tom, we got to go to here. We go there. My car's not there. I go, oh, great. I think the cops picked it up. So I knew where it was. It was at the impound. And I paid the $250 Jesus. To get it towed to my house. And I'm like, all right, get back in the van, head to Houston. Let's do this gig. And my buddy's van starts shaking.
Oh no.
And I'm thinking on my toes, so I just kind of like putter into U-Haul and hand them $600 or so for a weekend with a cargo van. Luckily the bass player drove himself, so it was just me and Tom I had to worry about. And I finally get on the road. Luckily we weren't running late, but I was stressed out and I'm already like $700 or $800 in the hole and heading to Houston to do these gigs. And I'm like, Tom, you're with me right now doing this. How are you? How are you?
Freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I've been on cush gigs. I've been on not cush gigs and they're all gigs. It's all a good time as long as it's a good time, you know,
yeah.
There's no ego there, and that's, I strive to be that, you know,
zen
every day, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Just to be okay with everything.
Yeah.
And I'm humbled playing around town a lot. Some of the stuff we do the day after we play Moody.
Yeah.
You know, I am humbled, and yeah. and there is something about it that I like. You know, where it's like, I don't like to be treated unfairly by a venue.
No, not at all.
I just like
none of the venues, there's never been a bad thing that's happened to me at Hanover's.
No. Yeah.
It's just not as glamorous as.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they know that.
Right. But I like to be able to be thrown in the ringer and just not be pampered.
Yeah.
I know. It's great. Yeah. Keeps your chops up.
Yeah.
You know.
Your band, do you guys play pretty often in the trio? Like at. Like one-to-one, or like I see you do Saxon as well.
Yeah.
Do you post those on
regularly,
your...
those two regularly. Okay. I try my best to post. You know, I also try my best to make everyone happy. Sometimes I'll play two places with the trio within 7 days from each other. Sometimes within a day from each other, and... You kind of have to pick where you're going to use all your post power to get people to come out. Even if the two shows have the same cover charge.
Right.
You know, you still kind of are like, all right, I can't make everyone happy.
Yeah.
You know, but I try, and I don't always do it because sometimes I know what the gig is. You know, hey, how come you'd, I didn't know you were at Eddie V's. You should have posted.
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't have.
Yeah. Yeah, you're there every Sunday.
Yeah, I'm there every Sunday, and it's I don't want to use my posting power on my steakhouse gig.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta prioritize, I suppose. I gotta prioritize. But well, I've got stuff coming up.
All right. People can just go to DaveShear.com.
Oh, that says nothing probably. No. I haven't done that calendar in like 2 months or something.
Yeah, it's still September.
No.
On your calendar. I just thought you hadn't played.
You're right. I just hadn't played. Now I've got the 3rd and the 16th. Sleeping. The 3rd and the 16th of December.
Okay.
At 1-2-1.
At 1-2-1.
Both at 8 p.m. 3, okay. 16.
3rd I think and this 16th. Drops on the 3rd.
This does?
Yeah.
Come out tonight.
Yeah, come on out tonight. Check it out. But also, you're going to be playing at the Black Fret Ball. You'll be playing at Moody Theater.
This year, I won't be.
Oh, what happened?
Well,
picking you off?
Yeah,
too much?
But it's
too much.
I'm too much because last year
who's gonna follow you?
They
man?
Couldn't find a parking space for my semi, and it just that sent my semi had all my makeup in it pretty much.
Your band can't get there. They don't have a helicopter pad at Moody.
No,
that sucks.
Actually, you know what? My band can't get there. They don't have a car. Now, it's you know they have the Moody for a certain amount of time, allotted time, and
you know who all's playing.
I think everybody except two acts, and I'm one of the two acts.
Okay. That's a lot of acts. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I am, of course, invited to go there.
Are you going
to
go? You're going to go?
I'm going to try my best because I am booked that night.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I went ahead and booked myself because I had a feeling that I was... Because they said earlier this summer, I think, later in the late summer, they emailed everyone and said, hey, we're not going to get to everyone this year. And... This is my second nomination.
Oh, really?
You know, so it would be...
Yeah, double nominee.
Yeah. So I think it's just that you kind of... They gotta have everyone who's a first-time nominee play.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
So, but I'm pretty sure I'll be able to make it, especially towards the end.
There's a lot of people on that list, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. I'll read them in the intro and the outro. I'm not going to do it during our time together. This is the time of magic. Have you been checking out my award? Is that what you've been doing?
No, I've been checking out your
everything. Okay.
I've been checking out your John Wayne and your lava lamp that's off.
Yeah, it's off. I'm sorry. I should have turned it on before you came.
No, that's fine. There's something kind of cool about it.
My grandpa's, when he passed away, I got that.
Really?
Yeah.
The lava lamp or the...
my grandpa was a stoner guy. No, my grandpa was super into like manly men. Like
yeah.
a Clint Eastwood, John Wayne, yeah. kind of like that was his dude.
That's very cool.
A fan of the movie Death Wish.
Mainly, I was checking out your Gibson.
Thank you. That's it's a 67.
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like a Honeyburst. J45?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You are correct, sir. You want to buy it?
Sure.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, okay. Fine. I got to think a couple things
it's
for sale.
It's the nicest guitar I have.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, it is. It's not as valuable to me as my Telecaster,
I think I saw you playing it at 121. Did you have a night with guests, or were you someone's guest?
I might have been someone's guest.
Were you Julius?
Yes. Julius. Yep. At a Tom Petty thing or something, or
yeah, Bowie. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. You said some fantastic things on the mic.
I did.
As you do.
Thank you. Yeah. That's nice of you to say.
I laughed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. You make me laugh. I make you laugh. What's going on here?
I know. It was bound to happen.
Yeah. Is there anything I'm missing from you? I've really enjoyed talking to you. You're a cool guy.
I've enjoyed it too. Yeah. Thanks, Johnny.
Good.
No, I don't think we're missing anything, but I mean, I'll hang out for a bit.
Congratulations. That's like the most Austin thing anyone's ever said.
Yeah. Love it.
I look forward to whenever you do put out your record.
Thank you.
Yeah. As do and I. That live one is available at shows.
Yeah.
There's a live one, but it's only available at shows on CD.
There's only CDs. Yeah. So if you've got, 2008 Santa Fe or something like that, you probably have a CD player.
My CD player, I've got a Mazda, but mine doesn't work. My CD player. It's a bummer.
I've got a Mazda and I've got a 6-disc changer in
you
it.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I have that CD player works and I listen to stuff on good. My NS10s.
I've got the same one.
Yeah.
Except maybe not the SL. Yeah, the same burner.
Same burner, baby. Yeah. It's a burner.
It's good stuff.
Well, dude, thank you so much for doing the show. Dave Scherer is a 2019 Black Fret nominee, possibly up for incredible amounts of money.
Possibly.
And you won't be there to accept it. Were you playing that night?
I took a holiday gig.
Okay.
Pays all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you got to play Last Christmas, I Gave You My Heart, Very Next Day.
You gave it away. That's it.
This year, without any tears, I have to learn that song every December. I have to relearn that song.
I don't have to do
it's
anything.
It's like two things.
This is a great gig. This is what I love about being professionally ignored. This is one. I just have to do like a holiday trio.
Right.
Actually, I don't. I just have to have a trio.
Okay.
And it's kind of during the holidays, or it's a holiday party. I think there's going to be like some little Santas there. This person has got
like little Santas.
Yeah, little Santas. I think they're gonna roll in like 14,000 pounds of snow and put cocaine. It in front of a fan.
It's my
oh,
party.
Sure, yeah.
It's my kind of party, baby.
I don't know if it's cocaine.
Little people, little Santas, and blow, baby.
Yeah. What else do you need? And they just want a cool trio to ignore.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I don't have to, I don't
now,
think I even have to
do. Dancing?
I don't know. I don't know if there will be. We're kind of in the background. It's kind of like, did you see Ted? The movie?
Oh, the teddy bear movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw it?
Yeah.
He shows up to the party and he's at the guy's house and there's a band playing.
Yeah.
But it's a big band.
Yeah.
But they just happen to be in the corner of the house.
Yeah.
You know?
It's going to be you.
That's going to be me. Yeah, but not a big band.
Not a big band. All right,
it's
well,
be fine.
And
then after that, I'll head to Moody and
collect your award, probably.
Yeah, I hope so.
Collect your giant. Do they give you giant checks that night?
Like Sandler's
those fake ones, yeah.
Happy Gilmore, yeah. Big ones,
yeah. Well, people, check it out. You can find out more about Black Fret at blackfret.org. Great organization, gives money to musicians for mm-hmm. them to do things with, and they can enrich their careers in a great way. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Dave.
You as well, Johnny.
Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Wonderful. Hit me like a
cannonball. Gang, that is Dave Scherer, amazing guitarist, multi-instrumentalist, songwriter, and singer. Find him at DaveScherer.com. You can see him playing with the likes of Ruthie Foster, Jeff Plankenhorn, Andrea McGee, or, of course, his own Dave Scherer Trio. All right, go to DaveScherer.com for all of your Dave Scherer needs. And also, gang, don't forget the Black Fret Ball is this Saturday, December 7th at ACL Live at Moody Theater. Doors are at 7 p.m. Lots of performances, lots of amazing nominees, including bands like Go Fever, Superfónicos, Ley Line, Sydney Wright, The Waters, Ty Austin, Western Youth, tons of great people. You want tickets, go to blackfret.org. Find out more about it. Get involved with Black Fret if you want to be a supporter of Black Fret. Go out there and check it out. Black Fret's a great organization. Today is Giving Tuesday. Give to your favorite organizations. Black Fret might be yours, okay? Thanks so much for listening to the show. I want to thank Dave Scherer for coming by. Don't forget, if you want to find this show all the time, you can go wherever it is they stream and download jams, be it Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, anywhere. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday, all right? Susan Gibson, the famous Susan Gibson, amazing songwriter on Friday's show, all right? Let's hear some more music from Dave Scherer from his album, Porch Talk. Check it out. Don't forget, go to DaveScherer.com. Have a great day, great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
Hit me like a cannonball. Oh, you stuck an arrow through my heart. Well, I know I'll be a better man, baby. But Lord,